going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast, the NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. Of course, I'm your host. I'm here. I'm Sean Kane. Even with only a few games left in the NBA regular season, we are still grinding it out, and it is Thursday, April 6th, baby. We still got NBA to worry about. I know everybody is hot on the trail with MLB, and NBA has been a little bit tilting lately, but hey, if you're paying attention to the NBA, you know where to put your money. There's still money to be made out there. People are still making money out there. It's okay. You know, we can do this. We can do this, guys. We got a nice little six-gamer tonight. Six-game slate. Not bad, not bad. You know, and some relevant games. Some games that actually matter. Teams still jockeying for position. Not everybody in punt mode, of course. You know, a lot of injury, weird little injuries to pay attention to. Some values to pay attention to. We got to break it all down. We got to get through there because, hey, you know, there's always the argument to continue to grind out, to test your process, to continue to learn, know that, you know, variance is happening, but that's part of the game. And you gotta keep your head down, keep your head in the books and figure out how we're gonna finish out this season. And I think tonight, this is a slate I really like. I feel really good about a lot of the different angles on it. It feels like a good spot for NBA tonight. Really, really happy with what we're seeing here. So let's dive in. Let's go for it. The one thing I want to say before we do that is, as the season is winding down here, guys, if you've been listening for the good better part of the season and you like the show, you know, I mean, I know. Not everybody does this, but if you haven't written a review on iTunes, please do that. You know, I mean, the reviews and the ratings and the results, I mean, that's what keeps us alive, you know, and obviously now the cheat sheet, the Patreon page is up and rolling, you know, and that's been great for us. You know, we're working on it. We're working on developing the pod and the network, and MLB is being planned right now. The MLB cheat sheet, we're refining that. You know, and hopefully you got some Masters entries in there with the help of Scott's special edition podcast, which is excellent stuff. I just, you know, the reviews mean a lot to me. And as we round out the NBA season, if you've been a loyal listener, it just, it'd be really, really, really helpful to me to see a review go up there. You know, it's just kind of all that I can ask from you guys. You know, it's just, I know it seems simple or silly, you know, but for me, this really matters, you know, and this is my day to day work. So, you know, seeing those reviews are really heartwarming, and it'd be nice to get a couple extra reviews before the end of the NBA season as we move into MLB. You know, and try to continue to grow this thing. It's not easy, but it's worth it. It's worth it. It's fun. It's really fun. And, you know, it's really fun to just interact with you guys and have a great community. And that alone makes it worth it. But if you haven't written a review, I would really appreciate it if you do so before the end of the NBA season. Like I said, six-game slate. I like this slate a lot. I like it a lot. So let's not waste too much time. Let's get into it. And before we do that, let's go ahead and recap yesterday's lineup. One of these nights. Okay, so, you know, not bad, honestly, really not bad. I went a little bit of a hedge situation. I went to a hedge strategy, which I never usually do. I'm not a multi-line person. I'm the kind of person who likes to sit down, grind through my process, and figure out exactly who I want to be on, exactly what my favorite lineup is. I'm a single line guy. I've been doing a single lineup for forever. But I did three lineups. I wish I had stuck to my guns and just done the one lineup. But hey, what are you going to do? I didn't. you know, and that's okay. That's okay. But the one lineup that we rolled out on the show, the one that was as close to the show line as originally planned, was the real stars and scrubs line that I went with. And that was Steph Curry. I ended up being on Tony Parker over Jamal Murray. You know, frustrating because Murray had a nice game, even though we all got scared off about the Jameer Nelson news. I mean, you should have known that Jameer would have been not so effective, and Murray and Moutier still getting those minutes off the bench. They played well, even though Murray played. So it was Steph. I went to Tony Parker, who Tony Parker was fine. I mean, you know, he got me, he hit value. He did great. And then it was, of course, Harden and Lou. I went to Lou. Lou had a really nice first half, played terrible in the second half. That was a little bit frustrating. LeBron just owning the Celtics. If you didn't watch that game last night, LeBron just was LeBroning all over the place, man. The first half, LeBron was just something to watch. And I was talking to my wife about it. I was like, dude, I just am so happy that LeBron is the player of my generation. Like, I have a lot of respect for the guy. I know sometimes people don't like him or whatever. Or you think he's whiny or media attention. I don't know. I love him. I love the way he plays. I love watching him. He owned the Celtics last night. Multiple occasions where no one in green wanted to even deal with him and just let him have his way. So he goes for 36 and 10. Absolutely love that. Matt Barnes doing work in that Phoenix game. I said we needed to have some Matt Barnes. You know, hey, he did Matt Barnes things. 8 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 steals. That's Matt Barnes, man. That's Matt Barnes. He did 23 points at a really nice salary. David West. David West. Could have been more, man. 14 points for David West, but, you know, he just doesn't get a lot of run. You know, they try to conserve him. And I told you that Golden State-Phoenix game would shoot out. I knew it was going to shoot out. I knew it was going to shoot out, and it did. It really did. And, you know, of course, Steph was Steph. I also love playing Steph, just to be clear. I mean, man had 42, 11, 2 steals, 2 blocks. He is just a maniac. I love that guy. And Kevin Love playing great, double-doubled, 15 and 16. We knew, I think one of the things that I loved about playing the Cavs was knowing full well that the Cavs, without Tristan Thompson, would need the rebounding as support. So that really pushed me in the direction of LeBron and K-Love, knowing that they were going to be the primary rebounders in that situation. And then Dwayne Dedmon at center, God, only owned at 1%, got the start, got the minutes, but of course he didn't do anything in that game. And San Antonio loses to the fucking Lakers? I mean, like, is Popovich gonna kill somebody? And why are the Lakers winning? They're in tank mode. Unless they're trying to get themselves out of the Lonzo Ball conversation, which, hey, I don't want Lonzo Ball either. I think he's great. No offense. He's a good player. I don't want the baggage that comes with that, right? Why do you want the baggage that comes with Lonzo Ball? It's like Tim Tebow. Everybody's gonna be following him around with a microphone everywhere he goes, and, you know, especially in LA. I mean, I don't want that. I don't want that if I'm LA. I mean, personally, but, you know, then again, he's supposed to be a generational player. I'll take a wait and see approach. I take a wait and see approach with Lonzo in the NBA. I don't think his shot really does much. I don't think his form is gonna translate. I think his release, I just don't know. I think he will be a good distributor. I think he will be a very good distributor, and his the thing that will translate is his passing, and that is excellent. So, you know, that for sure makes sense to me. You know, and I think he definitely has. I've seen comparisons to like a Rubio. You know, the way he did just kind of a traditional point guard probes dish, you know, works a baseline dish. I think that translates really, really well. And that I like about his game for sure. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know why the Lakers, but the Lakers have they beat the Spurs and they beat the Grizzlies. What are they do? What? Why? Why? And hey, man, it really kind of makes, makes you scratch your head. I mean, guys like Tyler Ennis and Larry Nance Jr. I don't know. They're doing it. D'Angelo too. No D'Angelo. What does that say? I don't know what it says about the Lakers, to be honest with you. But anyway, hey, that line, that Stars and Scrubs line that we were working on, 309. That's not a bad number on that night. Wishing I hadn't hedged because my other lines just didn't really do as much work as that one. Isaiah Thomas kind of was trappy. He didn't really do much, and that was kind of the big difference there. He didn't really do anything. But God, on a night when no one plays Russ, Russ goes for 70. Of course he goes for 73. Of course, no one was on him. Everybody's on these other plays. Russ goes for 73. And good God gracious, Jared Dudley. Where did Jared Dudley come from? Does anybody have any Jared Dudley takes beyond me? I went to Boston College, watched Jared Dudley play there, and man, he was great. But now we're both the same age. Where does the game come from, J-Dud? Just excellent, excellent stuff by J-Duds, don't know what else to say. That was it. Jared Dudley. That's just amazing. Amazing stuff. Really, 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 really happy for Jared Dudley in that one. But hey, we're going to move on to tonight. Like I said, nice little six-game slate here. Really like this slate. I think there's a lot of angles. There's a lot of value. There's some nice game targets. There's some games that matter. I think almost top to bottom, these games matter. You don't have to worry too much about the whole, like, who's going to really play type situation, like, with the Dallas Clippers game. Of course the Clippers blow up in a situation when we basically completely fade that game because it's not, you don't know who's going to play. Of course, Blake goes for 40, DeAndre goes for 40, Chris Paul goes for 40. Yeah, perfect sense. It's the variance is real. Variance is very, very, very real. So, we got these games here. Let's break them down. Let's jump into the spreads for tonight. Right, so first game of the night, the Bulls going over to Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia, we know, in full-on punt mode, but the Bulls, for whatever reason, still trying to scrape together, scrape it together here. They are obviously still in the hunt. They are currently in that 7 seed, tied with the Heat, basically. Heat got that win over Charlotte last night. Wah, wah. Charlotte, almost out of it completely. Almost completely out of it here. Charlotte. Pacers on the outside looking in. I mean, it's Bulls, Heat, Pacers all tied right now. Deadlock, 38-40. Bulls got a win tonight. Pacers are in action too. If the Bulls get the Bulls have a nice win, nice matchup, well, the Pacers have a real tough one with the Bucks. And the Hawks are in there too. It's basically Hawks, Bulls, and Pacers all in action tonight. And that Bucks-Pacers game, very relevant, very, very relevant. And the Hawks playing the Celtics, very relevant for them as well. I mean, they can't take an L on that. The Bulls, however, have the best, easily the best matchup of those teams. So you got to think the Bulls are going to say, hey, let's buckle down, let's get this win, so that we can, let the rest of these clowns sort it out amongst themselves. So we will see, man. I mean, there could be a situation in which every single one of these teams is sitting almost with the exact same record. The Bulls, the Hawks, the Bucks, the Hawks, the Bulls, the Heat, and the Pacers, all within a game and a half of each other right now. All within, and they're all in action tonight. It's going to be really interesting. Everybody's going to be jockeying. I mean, you could literally go all the way up to fifth place if you win out this season, in the three more games that these teams have, four more games. So very, very important here for these teams in the East to get these wins. So, definitely interested in getting some exposure to those games. Going to try to figure out what the best way to do it is. First one of the night is, of course, the like I just said, Bulls Philadelphia, 211 total here. Bulls only favored by 6, but of course, Philly in full-on punt mode, playing a bunch of their rookies. You know, they got destroyed by Brooklyn the other night. You know, to some degree, you're a little bit worried about the blowout factor, but the Bulls playing they're not good enough, I think, to blow anybody out. I mean, they lost to the Knicks with no Porzingis. They lost to the Ron Baker Knicks. I mean, how good are the Bulls? I don't think they're very good. So I don't necessarily see a blowout happening here, but keep an eye on that line. We'll keep an eye on it. If it moves too much, then we should be a little bit more worried here. Then you got the beauty of Brooklyn and Orlando, 226 total here. Orlando favored by 2 at home. Love this game for fantasy purposes. Pace up. This is basically summer league ball for the both of these teams. They're just all in development mode. So, I mean, you expect minutes for all these young guys on both teams. Tons of action here. I don't think we're going to see anybody rest. The only person that you might see rest is maybe a Brolo or something like that. But I don't know. I mean, this feels like a really good fantasy target. You're going to want some exposure to that game for sure. Milwaukee at Indiana, 201 total here. Pace down, low total in this one. Indiana favored by 4.5 here at home, you know, which is a pretty close game. I think this game comes down to the wire. Both teams are really, really hungry right now, coming off of, you know, a win and a loss respectively. So definitely want some exposure to that game. Washington at New York. Washington definitely going to want to get this win, stay locked into that 3 seed. You know, they are pretty, or excuse me, 4 seed. They are pretty clearly locked in. You know, the Raptors have the 3 seed. They're a half a game ahead of them. I think, you know, there's a reason for the Wizards to want to win this game, but they're not going to slip into that 5 seed. They're 7 games up there. So it's just about jockeying of how much they want to get that, get the spot over the Raptors, who got Kyle Lowry back, but then lose to the Pistons last night. How do you lose to the Pistons when you get Kyle Lowry back? Kyle Lowry, by the way, 50 fantasy points. Damn. I mean, what? Man is back. Man is healthy. Hopefully they can figure this out. But geez Louise, something went wrong with the return of Kyle Lowry. I don't know what it was. DeMar DeRozan, by the way, only 28 points. That the shift, maybe it's just to try to get Kyle Lowry back in rhythm type situation, see how he's feeling. But anyway, this Knicks Wizards game, definitely fantasy viable. Tons of injuries on the Knicks. We got to figure out who's going to play. You know, Carmelo and Kristaps kind of been rotating games. And maybe they both play tonight. I'm not really sure. But Kristaps is a game time decision as of now. So we are going to, you know, we'll keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on that for sure. No injuries on the Washington side, but you know, you got to be worried about minutes here for those guys. I don't know how much run they really need or want in this one if they can get control of this game early. Boston at Atlanta, 209 total here. Boston only favored by 2. God, Boston played terrible defense last night. They are not that good on the defensive end. They don't like rebounding. They don't like stopping the ball. Avery Bradley looks meh at best. You know, I don't know. They did not look good. So many injuries on the Hawks side of the ball. Millsap says he's going to play, but we're still waiting on decisions. Tim Hardaway Jr. says he's going to play. Kent Bazemore is a game time decision. You know, if we get no Kent Bazemore, because Tabo is out, if we get no Kent Bazemore, then we're going to have to look pretty hard at Torian Prince. But Torian Prince probably limited minutes just because of the return of Paul Millsap. But you got to think he plays the 3. Honestly, there's no one else to play the 3 there. It'll be Schroeder, Hardaway, Prince, Millsap, Howard. So, I mean, Schroeder and Howard, pretty much the only healthy Hawks right now. And then the last game of the night, a big one as well. Very important game for Portland. Portland, Minnesota, 219 total here. We're in Portland. Portland favored by 6 at home. But Portland, of course, just dropped that one game to Minnesota. They should have taken that one, but they just dropped that game to Minnesota. They are on a little bit of a skid without the Nurk monster. But you got to like them at home here, returning to Portland. The Nuggets keep helping them out and taking L's, you know. And, you know, it's just an important game for them. And I think that you're going to see a very focused Portland team trying to get themselves secure one game lead in the Western Conference, because they have the tiebreaker with the Nuggets. Remember, they just beat the Nuggets last time. That was Nurk's last hurrah. You know, they are whole one game up on the Nuggets right now, and they could very easily make that a two-game lead if they get the win there. You know, and the Nuggets just can't catch a break, to be honest with you. And the Nuggets have the Pelicans again, who seem, you know, that's a tough matchup for them. They got the Thunder, the Mavs, and then the Thunder. So those are winnable games for them, you know, but they're not cakewalk games. And then the Blazers, on the other hand, still have left, obviously, tonight the Wolves, but then the Blazers have the Jazz, the Spurs, and the Pelicans. So, I mean, this is this is really, really an important win for them right now. They have to get this win in order to get a two-game lead, and maybe they can steal one game. They're not going to beat the Jazz. Maybe they beat a resting Spurs team or something like that. I have no idea. It just rough for the Blazers, who are going to be really, 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 really fighting for this spot. But they have to get this win against the Wolves tonight. Like, they have to, because they could go 0-3 down the stretch, you know, and they need that two-game lead over the Nugs, because the Nugs have 4 games left. Not easy either, but gosh, it's going to be a real, real tight race. Love to see a playoff. Wouldn't that be fun? Although, if they're tied, no, because they can't have a playoff, because if they're tied, Portland has the tiebreaker there. Anyway. So, 6 games, all of them relevant. You know, the only one that maybe you're worried, the only ones that are kind of worrisome targets, maybe Boston, Atlanta, Chicago, Philadelphia, Washington, New York. Those are a little bit hard to predict. But again, you don't have to have too much exposure to them in certain ways. You're going to have certain pieces of those games, not all those pieces. But that's what we got, man. It's 6 games, very, very relevant, like all of them. And let's not waste too much more time. Let's get into the player breakdown. Who do you love? All right, starting at the top of the slate here, we're going to break down the studs. At point guard, you've got John Wall, and I like John Wall against the Knicks. Don't get me wrong. He's got good matchup history against the Knicks. I just don't know necessarily how much they're going to need from Wall. You know, from a fantasy perspective, best case scenario, the Knicks hang around and give the Wizards a real headache, and the Wizards just are really trying to get themselves into that 3 seed over the Raptors. Or, worst case scenario, you know, from a fantasy perspective, the Wizards give everybody 24 minutes and they're in control of the game, and it doesn't really matter because Kristaps is sitting and Carmelo isn't hitting and whatever the case may be. You know, I mean, I think there's a lot of ways to predict that game, and it's not very easy to project Wall's outcome production in a game that could go a lot of different directions. So it's Dame for me. Dame feels like a much safer investment at 9-1. It's a really nice price for him. He's in a must-win game. He's at home. He had 42 against the Wolves last time. He's averaged 42 against them this year. You know, Minnesota is pretty average against the point guard. Ricky Rubio, not a bad point guard defender, but not an excellent point guard defender. I think what you like in this situation is the playoff implications here. Damian Lillard, 30% usage without Nurk on the floor. You know, I just think this is going to be a game where Dame and CJ are just absolutely locked in and really, really, really going to try to make it happen. So I like the Blazers. You know, I like Damian Lillard in this spot. I think 42 is the floor, and of course we know he has a ceiling. He always has a ceiling, and I don't necessarily think the Wolves don't scare me, I guess is what I'm trying to say. They just gave up 56 they didn't give up 50 to Steph. They gave up 43 to Steph. You know, and they're decent against the point guard, like I've said, but I just, you know, I like Dame in a must-win situation with all of these minutes, these usage, the attempts. It's all going to be there for him. You know, I think that you can safely invest in Damian Lillard and know you're going to get a 40-point return at a minimum. At shooting guard, it's Giannis. Giannis at a flat 10K is a really nice price. But, man, he has been up and down lately for sure. And we talked about what it is that you want out of Giannis. You want that rebounding upside. And he, you know, hasn't really shown that against the Pacers, but Indiana, not a great rebounding team. You know, bottom five in the league, just as bad as Boston. So I think Giannis is in a good spot here on the road. They've beaten the Pacers a number of times. This is a very important game for both teams. You're going to see everybody going all in on this one. Full minutes for Giannis, even in a situation when, you know, it feels like maybe there's a blowout. I don't think there's going to be any blowout here. You know, it's a low total, low pace game, which is the only reason that I get a little bit hesitant about Giannis and George. Because you look around the slate and you just don't have, it just doesn't have Vegas's, it doesn't have a lot of love from Vegas, right? I mean, you got 219 in Minnesota, or excuse me, 219 in Portland. You know, you got 211 with the Bulls. You only have 202. It's the lowest total on the slate. You know, lowest total on the slate, not my favorite target for fantasy purposes as far as studs go. That said, we know how important this game is to both teams, so I think that there's full minutes, a lot of usage for the studs in this one. You know, I think you can easily go to Giannis and expect a minimum floor of 40. You know, he has had 40 and 40s and 50s against them, basically. You know, he's had 40s and 50s against them. Most recent outing, he had 44, you know, and it just, it's an important game. I don't necessarily know how else to say it. There's not a lot of other predictors here, you know, because we know that Giannis sort of plays the three, he sort of plays the four. He also plays the point guard and pick and roll situations. You know, in matchup history, it says, you know, okay, 44, 48 here against the Pacers in two matchups. You know, I think that's where we set his floor. We set his floor at 40, 45. And then, you know, we hope for upside. You know, earlier in the season, he went for 52 against them. But I don't necessarily know that we can predict that here in a low pace, low total game. So I like Giannis because it's competitive and he has massive usage. But I don't necessarily know how to project him. But you're comparing him. I mean, you're comparing that 10K investment to Jimmy. And you're comparing that 10K investment to Cat. Huh. I don't know. I mean, I think you could make an argument in both directions. You really could. So John Wall, too. You could make an argument for John Wall, who, you know, is also a 10K investment. I don't necessarily see a problem with John Wall against the Knicks, especially if the Knicks have a healthy Kristaps and a healthy Carmelo. You know, they're not going to want to take an L in that game for sure. You know, and Wall, they've blown out the Knicks a couple times, and he hasn't gotten full run. And, like, we know the Knicks are kind of sneaky good against the point guard, which is weird, by the way. It's just such a weird thing to say, but they are sneaky good. They're terrible defense, but they're sneaky good against the point guard, and so that limits Wall's upside for me. So I think Giannis is in a good position here. I just, you know, the price is nice. You're not overinvesting. 50 points from Giannis is not too much. You know, if he was closer to 11K, I'd be a little bit more worried. Small forward, it's Jimmy. Jimmy is an easy choice for me just because of the poor defense here in this situation. You know, the Bulls need him, possibly no Rondo, definitely no Wade. He's going to be the go-to. Right. And he's played really, really well against the 76ers this year. He has had 52 points over the course of the year. No Bobkov to guard him. Don't know who's going to guard him. You know, the thing that you worry about is a Bulls blowout. That, to me, is the biggest thing that you have to be careful about in this situation. But the Bulls aren't playing well. They don't blow people out. I mean, they haven't blown anybody out in a long time. You know, and possibly no Rondo. I think that even gives Jimmy a bigger usage bump here. Rondo's dealing with a wrist injury. Even bigger bump for Jimmy in this situation when you don't have a Rondo on the floor. So I think Jimmy is one of your safest stud investments on this slate. I'm going to go for it. I like him quite a bit in this matchup with Philadelphia. I definitely think he should be one of the studs that you are building around in this situation. You know, that said, I do like Damian Lillard a lot. Or excuse me, I do like Paul George also, and we'll talk about Paul George for sure. Power forward, there's really no studs on this slate for power forward. I think Kristaps is in play if he plays. I'm not going to touch Paul Millsap here, even though I like the rebounding upside. I'm not going to touch him in what, you know, he's trying to get back, but I'm just not going to, it's risky. And Kristaps is, you know, he's got a back. I don't know if they'll rush him out there. They don't need to rush him out there, but I think that we can definitely look at Kristaps in this situation, for a solid outcome if he plays against Washington. We love targeting the fours against Washington. So at center, it's Cat. The thing about Cat is right now, 10-2 is a really good, that's a good price for him, to be honest with you. It's really not a bad price for Karl Anthony Towns. The thing that I worry about is he's just been so up and down, and I think personally that's because of his legs. Just the legs can't be there. You're playing 40 minutes down the stretch of a season that's completely irrelevant. You know, his most recent outing against Portland, he had 47. Okay, great. Well, against Golden State, he only got 28 minutes. You know, how many minutes does Cat get in this one? You trust Thibodeau to a degree, but at the same time, they're pretty much done. Is Karl Anthony Towns going to be going full tilt against the Blazers in this one? I don't know that he will. You know, and we haven't seen him go over 50 since that Indiana game where Miles Turner basically just didn't guard him at all, you know, and 52 against the Lakers. The question you're comparing him, you know, you're comparing him to Giannis as an investment. You know, do you take Cat and say, okay, I'm going to go with Cat because, I think that the matchup is better. Yeah. I mean, the matchup is excellent. The matchup is definitely better. It's a higher total, higher pace game. There's no Nurkic there. You know, I think the question is about, you know, viability of the game script and whether or not you're going to go with Giannis at 10K or Cat at 10-2 is a question of whether or not you think that Giannis gets limited by the defense in Indiana. And Cat gets to eat against the Blazers, and he gets a full 38 Cat minutes, and there's no one to stop him. I can't predict that. I think they have a similar range of outcomes. I know one will outscore the other because that's what's going to happen. Somebody's going to score more than somebody else. It's just I don't know necessarily that we're going to see 50 from him. So, you know, in my mind, that. I don't know about that. I don't know about my investment in Cat. I got to be honest with you. Makes me a little bit nervous. However, if you look at Rudy's game in that front court, good gracious, Rudy destroyed them. He did, and we talked about it, and I loved Rudy. I just got cold feet. All right, let's move on to the Grout. Fantasy Grout feels a little bit more secure here. There's a lot more to understand roles. Pricing is really nice tonight for a lot of guys. So I see two point guards that I really like, and you guys can probably predict right off the top of your head who that's going to be. It's Elf and it's Dennis Schroeder. You know, surprise, surprise, I love Elf. Surprise, surprise, I love Dennis Schroeder. You know, obviously not really much to consider here. Their prices are excellent. They have been playing well of late. Elf particularly playing extremely well. Love Elf in this situation. 40 plus points against Boston and Brooklyn. Triple-doubled last time against Brooklyn. These teams match up well, and you're going to see a ton of pace. You're going to see a ton of scoring. You're going to see summer league style, just get whatever you want type basketball. Brooklyn allowing some of the most rebounds, some of the most assists to the point guard in the league, and I love Elf when he can run the floor, distribute, grab the ball off the glass, which he does extremely well. You know, and I think Schroeder is in a really good spot too. He's basically one of the only healthy assets that the Hawks have right now. And he's in a plus matchup against IT. You know, I don't necessarily see them putting Avery Bradley on him. I don't necessarily think that they feel like they need to. Size-wise, Schroeder and IT match up really well. I think that Schroeder will get IT defense, which isn't really actually defense, and we know that. You know, he doesn't have an amazing history against Boston, but he's gotten over 30 points in the last couple games. You know, they're priced exactly, almost exactly the same. I think if you had to pick one for me, I'm going to go with Elf. Just, you know, I think that Schroeder's a little bit harder to predict. You know, and the, you know, against Boston, his matchup history is not as great as it is against Brooklyn, right? And so, you know, I think we can easily look at Elf over Schroeder here in this situation and be okay with that. Then we're going down. By the way, I'm also very comfortable with both Jeremy Lin and TJ McConnell. They're both excellent cash game assets. Jeremy Lin basically hitting 30, 28 points almost on a nightly basis. TJ McConnell, very similar. No Sergio Rodriguez. There's really no one else to run the point guard there. He's been getting tons and tons of minutes. So I have no problem with TJ in this place, especially considering, you know, Chicago just not great against the point guard. And he had 31 in his outing against them just last time. So, you know, limited ceiling, 5X is definitely what you're going to probably get out of TJ in this spot. But 5X, 31 points is above 5X for a guy priced at 5'6". So if I had to pick, I think it's probably TJ over Jeremy Lin. Even though, you know, Jeremy Lin is absolutely viable, he just doesn't really have a ceiling either. And just last game against Orlando, 28 fantasy points, you know. So I think they're very comparable. Limited ceiling for both guys, but I think that you absolutely can look at TJ as a viable asset here as well in the Grout section. At shooting guard, pretty straightforward. It's, you know, it's two of my favorite guys. It's Bradley Beal and CJ McCollum. I just love them in this spot, no question. I think Beal and McCollum are in an excellent position. You know, Beal in the good matchup against the on the wing against New York. New York is terrible against the wing. Beal doesn't have an excellent matchup history with, you know, with New York. He hasn't really blown them out of the water. But of course, you know, we've seen some blowouts there with the Washington, New York. So Beal hasn't had to do a lot. But we love matching up with the wings in New York. And I think Beal is due for a little bit of regression. He's kind of been meh lately. I think you could see a nice game from him here in this spot. I don't necessarily know that you're going to see a ceiling game from him. Of course, if he gets hot, then he gets hot. But, you know, I think you could very easily pivot down to CJ, who I like just as much. And he's $400 cheaper and he's at home, you know, not to mention that they've been giving it up to the shooting guard, the Magic Cavs. Ask Clay. And CJ actually had a really, really nice game against them as well. Excuse me, the Minnesota, 50 points in the last 10 to the shooting guard, 48 in the last five. They're clearly struggling against the shooting guard. And I think CJ is going to be in a great spot at home. If you look at his game logs here, he plays way better at home. I mean, he does, except for that Houston game where he couldn't hit a goddamn side of a barn. You know, 50-pointer against Denver, 45 against Phoenix, 40 against Minnesota last time at home. I like CJ at home in this spot. I think that we absolutely could see a nice outing from him, and he's a really, really priced well. CJ McCollum at 7-1 is just a great, great spot. Now, I think the only thing that I would really consider Bradley and Smart I would really consider Marcus Smart if for whatever reason Avery Bradley sits, which is always a possibility because, you know, they're trying to conserve him, not rush him back. I would love Marcus Smart in this spot against Atlanta. I just think that he's probably due for some regression here. It seems like a GPP play to me. You know, given the price, you have limited ceiling, limited upside, but I'm okay with it. You know, of course, Fournier in play as well. And in fact, if I compare Smart to Fournier, I'm probably going to go Fournier, $300 cheaper, similar range of outcomes. You know, there's just no point in forcing it. And you have Brooklyn. Fournier just also limited ceiling here. So it's McCollum for me for the ceiling. I love that. I love playing CJ. At small forward, I got to talk about Paul George, even though he's probably qualifies as a stud. I put him here just so that I could talk about him. I mean, highest usage rate, highest score on Indiana, fighting for, you know, all NBA, fighting for their playoff lives. He just, I mean, in three of the last five games, he goes over 30 points. You know, obviously the barn burner with Cleveland is a little bit of an outlier, but he was over 30 points before that game ended anyway. You know, not an excellent matchup history with Milwaukee. Only had 41 last time at Milwaukee, but they were kind of out of that game by the fourth quarter. So I like Paul George at home here. Definitely an interesting spot for him. Problem is also that you really have nice value at small forward. So you're comparing, I mean, he's the exact same price as Damian Lillard. Who do you like more? Who do you love? Sorry, I apologize. That was inappropriate. I think that you can easily look at them in comparable situations, 40-point floors here, both at home, must-win situations. So in that respect, I like them both. You know, I like them both a lot. The question is, who do you trust, I guess? Who do you trust in this situation to get it done? You know, who scores more, Dame or Paul George? You know, Paul George going to get combination of Chris Middleton and Giannis. Dame's going to get Ricky Rubio. You know, none of those are outlier situations like where you're like, oh, wow, yeah, give me that. It's difficult to predict. It's difficult to predict. So the minutes, the usage are there, you know, but the pace and the total is not. If you side with pace and total, then you probably go with Dame over Paul George in this spot. But then again, Paul George is an all-star that you got to respect here. So I have no problem. Chris Middleton also in play, but gosh, Chris Middleton is so hard to project. And that's just, I think, the offensive style of the Bucks. It's very difficult to figure out when Chris Middleton is going to do a lot of scoring. You know, he has a secondary role to Giannis, and that is very, very clear. You know, basically in a lot of these games, you know, he's hit anywhere between 20 and 35, and he's very difficult to project. And if you don't have a plus matchup as far as just, you know, situational, you know, just a situational plus matchup, which against the Pacers, small forward is not necessarily a plus matchup because he's probably going to get Paul George defense. You know, they allow a decent amount of scoring from a DVP perspective, but I just don't necessarily see any reason to think that Chris Middleton is going to go, you know, above, I don't know. I mean, there's not necessarily, you know, the matchup history here is fine. You know, he went for 24 in that game in 37 minutes. That's not great, but that's kind of what you get from Chris Middleton. You play him and you're going to probably get somewhere around 4X and you might get 6X, but it's not guaranteed. That's the hard part because he's not the primary usage player. I mean, it's always Giannis in the pick and roll and Middleton on the kickouts. You know, he's the secondary option. And their offense, man, it'll really make you tilt. It will really make you tilt. They're slow. They run the ball through Giannis every single time. And if they're not running the break, then it's really kind of hard to see a lot of production from the other pieces beyond Giannis Antetokounmpo. So, I don't know. Middleton is hard to project. I'm not really touching the Grout small forwards. There's a lot more value down there, and you may as well go with that. At power forward, it's not hard in this mid-tier. There's two guys that are really, really standing out here. I really like Nico Mirotić, and I really like Aaron Gordon. I think they are both 100% in play. You know, they are both priced at exactly the same. They're both in plus matchups as far as, you know, attacking the front court of Brooklyn. We just saw Aaron Gordon go double-double against Brooklyn, scored 50. The whole world was jaw-dropping. And then I said, hey, he's going to regress. Cleveland's not as bad as Brooklyn. He did. And I don't think you can expect 50 out of him, but I think you can easily expect 5X out of Aaron Gordon here in this situation. Getting tons of minutes, tons of run, you know, and you love the rebounding upside that Brooklyn offers with the extra possessions. He hasn't seen less than 32 minutes, basically, you know, in a week. So give me Aaron Gordon here at 5'7", and I think Nico Mirotić in a really good spot as well. You know, Mirotić has been a little bit up and down, and at times he's losing minutes to Bobby Portis. And I think that Bobby Portis is in play, to be clear, against Philadelphia. They're going to, you know, they don't mind putting him in there against a bad front court. And I think that sometimes, you know, they're going to waver between the two, you know, who to play, Mirotić or Portis. And I think if I'm pivoting off of one of these guys, Gordon and Mirotić, I'm pivoting off of Mirotić just because he is more likely to lose minutes than Aaron Gordon. So I think if you'd feel uncomfortable with Mirotić, then it's a pretty easy pivot down to, you know, Aminu or down into Noah Vonleh or even down to Bobby Portis because, you know, Bobby Portis is just priced really well, and he had an excellent game against Philadelphia last time out. So clearly Hoiberg sees something there, you know, but I think you definitely go with Aaron Gordon in this spot. You love the rebounding upside that he brings, and you love the, you know, you don't mind Bobby Portis in a plus matchup as well. So I think you could do that. You could very easily talk yourself into that situation. Now we're looking at center. You know, the only center that I'm interested in this price range, honestly, is Dwight. And I don't love it. You know, I'm not going to force Dwight, but I think 5X is definitely in the cards because Boston doesn't fucking rebound. I mean, GPP viable for sure because he's going to get low ownership. The question that you have to ask yourself is, how effective is he with possible Millsap back in the lineup, right? Possibly Millsap back in the lineup. I think you could easily see him go a double-double here. Question is, you know, how deep into that double-double does he go? He went 17-12 last time against Boston. I think something similar is very likely in the range of outcomes, flirting with, you know, 15-15 type situation, which, hey, that's 5X for a guy at 7'5". That's not bad, but I don't think you have to have him. There's better value down there, and if you're going to want to spend up on 7K guys around the slate, or excuse me, you know, are you going to take Elf at 7'4", or are you going to take Dwight? I think Elf against Brooklyn is a little bit more appealing than Dwight against Boston with Millsap back. So, you know, not a bad investment in GPPs, but not my favorite investment. And now let's go down into the bargain basement here. I think at point guard, we have to pay attention to the Bulls situation. If Rondo can't go, then you're probably going to get Michael Carter-Williams. I would guess you're going to get Michael Carter-Williams. I don't know. You're not going to get, I think you would have to get Michael Carter Williams. You're not going to get Jerian Grant. You're not going to get Isaiah Kanan. You're not going to get, what's his name, Cameron Payne. You're probably going to get Michael Carter Williams, who's been getting minutes anyway, who's been kind of the most secure option at the point guard, you know. And if Rondo doesn't play, then I think MCW probably gets the start, you know. And I don't think he's a bad play. If he gets the start at $3,500 against the 76ers, that's not a bad play at all. So let's keep an eye on the Rondo news. We'll be on Rondo watch here. And then, of course, Ron Burgundy is in play. Ronnie Baker in play here for sure. You know, he's just been getting a ton of minutes, a ton of run. He's almost min price against Washington. Do I love the matchup? No, not at all. I think Ron Baker's probably going to get owned by John Wall. You know, this is not as a plus matchup as it was against Chicago, you know, and you have a weird range of outcomes for Ronnie. You get like anywhere between, you know, 15 points and 25 points. And he doesn't score a lot. You just hope for some assists upside, you know, maybe you hope for a couple steals. And that's the kind of the difference between him crushing value and barely making value. You know, I mean, it's just kind of like, it's a weird situation for Ron Baker. I don't know how much I trust him. Let's say this. I would much rather play Michael Carter Williams than Ron Baker. But he's in play because he's getting minutes. You kind of have to think about it. So that's the point guard situation. You know, at shooting guard, there's really only one guy that I like down here in the value section, and that is my man Timothy Luwakabarro. Cabarro getting a ton of run lately. You know, 25 points is the floor. His price is up, which is unfortunate. You know, and this isn't Brooklyn, but with no Bob Cove in the lineup, he's been getting a ton of run. You know, and he could easily get you 20, 25 points against the Bulls here just based on minutes alone. You know, I think the only other possible guy in play might be a guy like, you know, Denzel Valentine. If we get no Rondo in the lineup, I think you see some extra run for Valentine, my guess would be, at the two. Because Michael Carter Williams won't be playing any two. I don't know necessarily how that would work out, but I think that he is definitely an option that you have to keep your eye on for sure. And then at small forward, you know, there's some things to like here, and there's some things to be a little bit nervous about. So I think I really, really, really am interested in Mo Harkless. I mean, just so underpriced, you know, given the production lately. Harkless has been playing out of his mind. It's a very similar situation to what we saw from a guy like Ariza. You know, like the minutes and the price just don't correlate. Like, he's getting way more minutes and way more run than his price would indicate. So you can be okay with having some Mo Harkless in your lineup. I think that he is absolutely 100% viable. Hark is, you know, not really a problem for me at all. I don't mind him at all. The other person who's in play that we have to keep an eye on, and this is really strange, Alex Poitras? I think it's probably Poitras or something like that. Alex Poitras. Okay, so this is the Philadelphia in punt mode with no small forwards. He's been getting 20 plus minutes lately in Philly. You know, you're wondering where Justin Anderson's minutes are going. Well, they're going to Poitras, who's been getting some pretty serious run of late. So you can definitely look at him. And of course, a little bit further up the board, you're going to have to consider Taurean Prince. If he is in the lineup, you absolutely have to think about him because, you know, just the run, the minutes, the rebounding upside, you know, we know what he can do if he gets 30 minutes, and he's been getting 30 minutes pretty consistently. You know, especially with Tabo out of the lineup, if Bazemore can't play, then I think you have to look at him. He's absolutely in play. This isn't Brooklyn, but it's not a terrible matchup for Prince at all. And of course, Terrence Ross definitely going to be popular against Brooklyn. Terrence Ross, you know, just, I mean, God, so hard to predict. Even only scored 13 points against Brooklyn in this last game there. Don't know how the hell that happens, but, you know, he's a bucket getter. And if he gets those buckets, then he could go, you know, 8X for you. But I think my favorite, like I said, I just said, Mo Harkless, definitely my favorite of all of these guys. But we got to keep an eye on all of them because, you know, they're all possibly in play. You know, and of course, let's not sleep on a min price Bojan Bogdanović here. You know, he could get some run. There's a lot down here. If you wanted to make some GPP lineups and just kind of throw darts down here in the power forward selection, I could see that. I could absolutely see, you know, reason to just kind of throw some darts and figure out where, which one of these guys is going to hit. But I think Harkless is the safest cash game investment by far, just given the minutes, the role, the situation, the pace, all that. You know, definitely an interesting spot for Harkless. Then going down to power forward, there's two really clear options down here at power forward. And I talked about him. Bobby Portis, absolutely going to be in play. Bobby Portis has been getting, you know, a pretty good run of late. I think Bobby Portis is one option that I really like. We're going to have to look at Maurice Indoor if Kristaps didn't play. Dude went for 30 points last game. Have no idea how that happened, but he went for 30 points. And then we got to look, of course, at my boy Noah Vonleh. Vonleh, same price as Portis. And, you know, you have to think about him. Or he's actually min price. Min price Noah Vonleh. You got to think about him here in this spot because he's going to get 25 minutes and he's going to have a decent matchup here. And he's gone for 20 points against them recently. So, you know, all these guys are relevant. And you can throw darts down here at the bottom of power forward, you know. So Indoor, if they're getting no Kristaps, you have Vonleh and Portis in play as well. So, oh man, it's shaping up like another Stars and Scrubs type night. You could do it. You can go balanced though. I already built a very balanced lineup that I really like as well. So, you know, that's absolutely in play as well tonight. And then at center, it's pretty obvious who I want to be on in this spot. It's Rolo. Rolo, you know, in a really, really nice position here. I think, you know, against the Philadelphia front court, it's just you don't really have to think too hard. He's going to get almost 30 minutes. You know, he didn't play well last time against Philadelphia, but I don't really see that happening again here. You know, I could see him definitely getting some good run in this spot and hitting value here for you at 4-7, you know, in a plus matchup. This is a good spot for Rolo. Now, that said, you know, we can also look at, you know, Kyle O'Quinn if we have no Porzingis. We can look at you know, some of these other guys who are in, you know, plus situations. You know, for example, I think you could look at Jan Mahimi, maybe, just because he's been getting so much more run than splitting his run with Gortat and in a really good matchup against the Knicks. You know, I mean, that's absolutely in play because that matchup, they could go big, you know, with Hernan Gomez and Maurice Indoor and Kyle O'Quinn, if there's no Kristaps in the lineup. So Jan Mahimi might be in play here just because of the minutes. You know, he could get some really good minutes in there and he's almost min price. I prefer Rolo for sure. No question. But you got to think about all these guys. There's so much down here in these value bins. You guys can hear it in my voice. I'm probably a little overwhelmed. Anyway, all right, that's it. Let's look at the lineup construction here, and let's figure out how we're going to build the lineup tonight. So I mentioned this earlier. I think that there's a lot of different ways you can go on this slate, and you know, a lot of them are viable. I'm going to show you guys a couple different lineups, and then I'll show you also some of my favorite pivots away from that to show you kind of how everything assembles for me. But I think in my core right now, I'm definitely loving Elf. I'm loving CJ. I'm loving Jimmy, and I'm loving Rolo. So those are the kind of guys that every build that I've made haven't really changed. Those four, point guard, shooting guard, small forward, center. Now, if you want to go with a little bit more of a balanced lineup, there's a really nice balanced lineup here where you have Elf, Schroeder, Beal, McCollum. You have Terrence Ross at the three with Jimmy. And then you have Aaron Gordon and Nico Mirotic. I mean, that is a really strong, solid line that has really, really good potential to get you 300 points. So it's Elf, Schroeder, Beal, McCollum, Jimmy, Ross, Gordon, Mirotic, Rolo. You know, the difficulty there is that, you know, if you get everybody exceeding value, you're in a great spot. If, you know, if nobody exceeds value, then you're in a challenging position as well. You know, it just, it's one of those things, you know, how, I don't know how you necessarily approach it. I can't really put my finger on exactly how you want to do it, because this isn't the only viable lineup. So let's say, for example, that you wanted to get another stud in there. Well, it's very easy. Let's say we want to get off of Bradley Beal and we want to get Giannis in there. All right. That's not hard. We take our money from Giannis and we go ahead and we redistribute pretty easily. We go down and we get onto Mo Harkless off of Terrence Ross. And then at power forward, we can do two things. We can go with Nico and Bobby Portis. You know, I think that that's absolutely a way you can do it. Nico and Bobby Portis. Or you can go with like, you know, Aminu and Thad. That's a viable play right there. Aminu and Thad, right? Those guys are both in play. Or you can go down and you can do Portis and Portis and Vonleh, who I think are really interesting options. So let's say we get Portis and we get Vonleh, then we're going to leave ourselves with a bunch of money, and we can quickly turn that money around, and we can turn that money into Damian Lillard at point guard too. So you have Elf, Dame, Giannis, CJ, Jimmy, Mo Harkless, Bobby Portis, Noah Vonleh, and Robin Lopez. So there I have three studs. Now, if you don't like Dame and you prefer Paul George, fine. I don't mind that. You stack that game up. You get off of Dame. You get off of Hark. And you go Paul George. And then you get one of these cheap point guards. And you have 4,600 at point guard remaining. And let's say, you know, we know for a fact that Michael Carter-Williams is going to get the start. Great. Give me Michael Carter-Williams. And then give me Al-Farouq Aminu at power forward, and Al-Farouq Aminu and Noah Vonleh. You can fit both of them in there. So then it's Elfrid Payton, Giannis, CJ, Jimmy, Paul George, Aminu, and Vonleh, and Rolo. I mean, that's viable as well. The question is, like I said, guys, I mean, the question is, you know, and obviously that's not necessarily viable if we don't know that there's, you know, backup point guard starting. So I think you have to make these lineups based on news. I think my favorite version of this, the thing that feels the safest to me right now, is the Dame, Giannis, and Jimmy line, where I have I have Bobby Portis and Noah Vonleh in there. I like that line a lot. But then again, I also really like just the two stud line where I don't have Dame and I have Elf and Schroeder, and then I have, you know, a little bit more to spend at power forward. I have, you know, Aminu and Thad, or I have Nico and Bobby. I'm telling you, man, there's a million and one ways you guys can go with this, but you're going to have to make your decisions about who you like as a stud, who you want, you know, in your lineup. You can absolutely, you know, go get three studs in here. You can get two studs in here. You can get, the question is who do you think is going to exceed value? I think that's what you're thinking about. Who is going to exceed value? And in my mind, I think my favorite of, like I said, is absolutely the way just the things are going these days. It's that stars and scrubs approach, man. It's so viable with so much value on these slates that it's just so viable to get, you know, all your favorite studs in one place. And I think that for me, that basically is Elf, Damian Lillard, Giannis, CJ, Jimmy, Mo Harkless, Noah Vonleh, and Bobby Portis. So, you know, and that actually leaves me some money left over. I mean, whoa, hold on one second. Let me see this. Let's see what I got here. $900. Yeah, I mean, I can even upgrade Hark. I can upgrade Harkless in this situation. You know, there's a lot of things that you could do. You can upgrade your center situation too if you want. But I think that stars and scrubs continues to be the way to go. I mean, it's not hard for these min price guys to exceed value. It really isn't. So, good luck in your contest tonight, guys. Figure out where you want to put your money. It's not easy, but it's not impossible. And I wish you guys the best of luck. If you haven't written a review, please, please do so. Hit it up on iTunes, 5 stars, get it in there before the end of the season. It makes, you know, it's 2 minutes for you, and it means a world of difference to us in the show. So, hey, good luck tonight in your contest, and I will talk to you tomorrow with my man, Josh Fern. Of course, back in the saddle first.